This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Deb Schell. Deb is a global entrepreneur guiding over 60 businesses in online community building. She excels in discovery, strategy, and implementation, simplifying user and back-end experiences. Deb's new book, Creator to Community Builder, is based on client case studies, community examples, and interviews. This book provides new community builders with stories, strategies, worksheets, templates, and checklists that help them take action to launch sooner, which I just love. Thanks so much for being here today, Deb.
Oh, you bet. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to share some of the wonderful things that you just shared about with my new book and the work I've been doing.
I am thrilled to have you here. This is a big topic because it feels like it's potentially like the newest wave of things to do, but there's so much out there. It's hard to sift through it, I would say. So I'm looking forward to getting a little more clarity around this subject.
Yeah, sure.
So let's just talk about online communities somewhat in general. Is there one place or another that you think is best for building an online community?
This is the number one question that I usually get. And what I'll say is, I want to back up just a little bit and say, sure, we're all part of communities, whether we want to be or not sometimes, right? We're part of our local community. We're part of maybe our work community. We're part of lots of different communities. And some of those communities intersect in person and online. And then there's some people that we just meet online, right?
Yeah.
And typically in the past, we thought about that being, I don't know if you remember the days of MySpace, but we used to have MySpace before Facebook. And that was really about connecting to each other and meeting new people and being able to keep in touch with family if that lives far apart. And so as this idea evolved, we realized we wanted to have deeper connections with people in certain circumstances or needed support in areas that I'm just not getting support in my local community or the resources I already have. So I would say one of the things that I learned was when I was looking for an online community or actually an online resource for building an online business back in 2017, 2016, I couldn't find anything locally. And so I was looking online and I found a community and a program that helps me build an online business. And so how I entered into this space online, I had been doing a lot of gatherings in person, but then due to COVID and some of these other changes that have happened, I found that it's such a great opportunity to combine this online experience and also have the opportunity for in-person experiences in some cases. So I would say, what's the important thing about that? The platform doesn't matter. It's the people who matter. And so there's a lot of different technology. I mean, Facebook has been around primarily, and that's what a lot of people are familiar with. There's challenges with that, but it is a place where a lot of people are. there are alternatives that are not on social media. So when we say a community is around is different than an audience. An audience is me talking to out to maybe you and a whole bunch of other people on this podcast or on social media. But when we talk about community, we're talking about two people being able to connect. And so if I had a community and I introduced you to that community, Diane, and then I said, hey, meet these other people who are here, and you got to build relationships with these other people, that's actually the goal of community building, is really allowing us to cultivate and share wisdom inside an online or in-person space. I hope that answered a little bit.
You did. Yeah, that is really helpful. So what do we need in order to, or I guess, like, what is required to lead an online community?
Well, I think not all people are going to be community builders or community leaders. Some people are more like facilitators, or some people are more like, enhancers, like that they like to help others in the community, but maybe not necessarily lead it. So I think, first of all, it's helpful to know what you as yourself are comfortable doing. Like, if you're comfortable leading groups, if you've never led a group before, but you want to try it, or if you just thinking about maybe collaborating with a couple friends and you want to have maybe a simplistic, book club meeting or something like that online, because maybe you aren't connected in person. Those are some opportunities. When you establish the purpose is really what we need. We need someone to be willing to host. You know, like anything, if you have a gathering at your house, you've chosen to host at your house, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever, the facility has chosen to host it. And so you need somebody that's willing to be able to host it. And that can be shared. It doesn't have to be one person. It could be multiple people. In fact, I think it's really great to have more than one person having a supporting that host and facilitating conversation. But also the purpose has to be clear. Priya Parker writes in her book, she writes about clarity in inviting people. And we use the event to invite people to express what the purpose is. But technically, like if I invite you to a birthday party, that's not super clear as to what's going to happen during the birthday party. So you might make a lot of assumptions like, oh, maybe there's cake and maybe I should bring a present. Oh, should I bring a plus one or is that not cool? Yeah. So if those things aren't clear, then it becomes a little bit more confusing and it makes it harder for somebody to make a decision on if I want to go to this thing or not, right? And so when we're really clear and specific about why we're gathering, what's the purpose, and what's in it for all of us? How are we all going to benefit from this? Because it's not just like one person sharing a lot of information. It's more about collectively, we've all learned amazing things throughout our lives, each person. And we bring that into this virtual room when we connect. And so that's the power of the shared wisdom aspect around, you think as an ecosystem of saying, okay, we're all in here together. We all have the same purpose. Maybe it's to read a specific book. Maybe it's support around a problem, like addiction or challenges with like learning disability or challenges with relationships, which are challenging. Lots of those topics have an ability to really connect people in a deep and super positive way. But the problem is we usually think about this as being on Facebook or some kind of social media. And the problem there is that people get in the way of us connecting because of advertisements and all of this analytical stuff that's happening on the back end.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So this is a question that I think of a lot. And so I can't wait to hear the answer. So does the leader or the host or, you know, whatever you want to call them, do they have to have a lot of content before they launch their online community?
No. In fact, I tell people to really focus on the aspects I mentioned earlier, identifying your purpose and maybe talking to a couple of your ideal members before you even launch anything.
Okay.
and maybe seeking out like a beta group. When you were going back to platforms, I do want to kind of answer you though, because I have been, my experience has been primarily on Mighty Networks. And I don't know if you're familiar with that platform, but Mighty Networks and Circle are kind of like the two main players in the creator space. And I've just found it that I've just had a lot more success and been more happy with my experiences with the platform Mighty. And that's where my experience lies. So I can share that, you know, with all of these different clients that I've worked with, we found different ways that work with them. And it really depends on the hosts, what their goals are. So if I'm the host, we also want to align with, okay, is this a business? Is this an idea to make revenue? Or is this more of a fun friendship gathering? Because those are two different paths. And if it's just, let's get together as friends, it doesn't have to be super, you know, it could be, if you're inviting new people, you might want to be clear about what it is, but like your existing, you know, group of, you know, friends, they, it's not as big of a deal to express to them why we're getting together. Now, if you're talking about a business, like a lot of people right now are, as far as like memberships and subscriptions,
right.
That goes down a path in understanding what your business is and what your goals are around that. Because at the end of the day, yes, you want to make revenue, but you also want to have an impact in the world. And I like working with people who have purpose and want to make a big impact. And to do that, you have to really understand those ideal members. You have to know what their problems are, because communities really solve problems well. But not all problems are solved by a community, if that helps.
It does. I like that, actually. But so let's talk about participation, because I know me, like I get invited to communities and I think this is great. And then getting me to participate is tough because it is not at the top of my mind. And I'm sure I'm missing out on some really great relationship building, but what, you know, how do you, what suggestions do you have for a leader to encourage that participation and get people to engage with each other?
Well, I question first what participation or engagement means to you. And I'm guessing it means like comments under a post or likes or cheers or something like that. Is that right?
You know, yeah. It's answer this question. You know, like they'll have a question of the week or whatever, or the expectation is that you're going to do a welcome message and then you're going to read other people's welcome messages. And I, from an idea standpoint, it makes perfect sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Getting me to do it is a whole other thing.
Well, yeah, we can, as a host, I can want you to do something.
Yeah.
And then, but the humans are unpredictable people.
Yeah.
So I can want all day, but that doesn't matter if another person is very, very busy, which pretty much everybody I've talked to.
Right.
It's got so much going on and it's really important stuff that they have and they're challenged with certain things. And so one of the benefits to thinking about intentional communities, and when I say intentional, I'm not talking about social media, I'm talking about the communities that are off of social media that are really focused on solving a problem for you. And you can't, I mean, I've been in Facebook groups and, you know, there's, I've built some relationships there, obviously, but that platform is focused on keeping people on that platform.
Yeah.
And because of advertising, right? So I think when people are thinking about engagement and posting and those kind of things, it's because they think that that's providing value, and that's not always true. It really depends on the situation. But when you go to an intentional platform, you have a purpose for going there. Say I need help losing weight, and I searched online and I found an online community that I really align with their values, and I really feel like their experience, and I was referred by somebody maybe that told me it was a great place. That gives me a lot more interest in participating in whatever is going on, because I've already really qualified. They've allowed me to qualify them as a as a relationship that I'm interested in cultivating. Mm-hmm. And participation can also mean a lot of other things. I'm in an online space. I'm a person who likes virtual events. And that's where I really shine. And that's where I really love to connect with people. And so I don't know that I would type too much in your community if you ask me a question. Because I don't know that I don't. The other thing is, I don't know who's in the room. Now, yeah. If I know who's in the room, in this virtual room that we're creating together, and I feel safe enough there, and the question is something about, you know, what's your goal, or like, what do you want to do with, you know, your weight loss journey? Well, that might be intimidating for me to share in front of a whole bunch of people that I don't really know.
Right.
I think we don't think about that stuff because we're so much on social media and we're sharing all of these things, but there's a difference in, you know, posting something on Facebook and deciding, you know, you're okay with whatever responses you get versus having an intentional conversation where the dialogue is really focused on safety first. And then we're going to have a conversation. And to create safety, you have the psychological safety component. You have to let people know that it is safe there to do those things. And that communication comes through your community guidelines. It comes through your messaging. It comes through your community culture, which is really like how you interact with your members. And those are things that grow over time. So it's not something where I could like start a group and then, you know, invite 50 of my friends. And then tomorrow I'm just going to start asking them really personal questions. Or even general questions. And they're like, I don't have time to answer this question. Like, I'm doing things. I need a solution. I don't need people to tell. Like, I know my problem. I just don't want to share it with everybody else in the room. Right?
Yeah.
People really want that one-to-one support more than a group support until they know the people in the group. Right. So what's really important about that is participation means a lot of things to a lot of people. For me, it could mean showing up at a virtual event. If you have, you know, almost if you post a virtual event and you have really great attendance, that's participation. That's a part of it. And it doesn't mean that we have to have something in a feed or activity feed or anything like that. Because at the end of the day, we're not trying to replicate social media. We're actually trying to build relationships. And so going in an online group over time, that group is going to grow and they're going to have conversations when they know who's in the room. I've seen courses and communities thrive and have a lot of what you might call engagement in respect to like posts and comments and polls and questions, which are all great things, but it just takes a little bit of intentionality and to think about who's in the room and what questions am I going to ask that are going to help us bring each other together and create more safety so that people feel comfortable sharing whatever it is.
You know, I have to tell you, this is making so much sense to me and giving me a really different perspective on like what that would look like in my business. So I'm appreciating that. And I think the listeners are too, but it leads me to a question about, is building a community right for every kind of business, or like, how does someone know if that's even a road they should go down?
Yeah, I give an example. Oh, and I wanted to get back to your question about like, do people need content? And I typically say no, because if your goal is to connect with each other as a support system or a networking group necessarily, you may not need a lot of education or blog posts or anything like that.
Okay.
I think what's really important is to start with a core group of people and then figure out what their challenges are and how they best want to tackle them. Like maybe they want to meet up on Zoom every week. Maybe that's not a thing that they want to do. Maybe they say, you know what, could you just remind me about something every week? Like post a reminder in there and then I will be account. Community is really about accountability. So it helps me. Like, I know I want to lose weight, but I struggle doing that on my own. So I know that if Diane's in the room, I'll be excited. I know Diane. I'll be like, she's there. I'm going to go. because that's my accountability buddy or whatnot.
Right.
The difference between like a community that's solving a problem and one that's not is I was talking to somebody about a dentist, like going to my dentist. If I have a cavity and when I get my dentist appointment, I have to go back to the dentist and get this cavity filled. Now I wouldn't go to your house to get a cavity filled, but maybe you and I struggle with dental hygiene. Maybe we don't floss or brush as much as we should. So we could meet up on a monthly or weekly or whatever basis we would decide and say, okay, let's check in with each other to keep accountable so that we can have better experiences with our dentist and no cavities, right? So then we could say, okay, well, every Thursday at 5 o'clock, I'm going to text you and let you know that I've been really great this week with brushing and flossing. That's accountability, but you wouldn't be fixing my teeth, right? That's right. A service that somebody, right. A professional who knows what he's doing, right, or she's doing, would do to do that work. But the accountability or connection pieces where you and I maybe both struggle with a challenge and we want to support each other through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I get that. Okay. So thank you for clarifying that. So,
but yeah, not every business is going to make a solution. And, you know, not every person who has a business should have a community. Because community building is a long-term thing. It's you know, a couple years. It's going to take a couple years. I mean, if you've been in business for over 10 years, you probably already have an audience. And so if you shared if you built an online community, that was an intentional platform like Mighty, and then you invited your audience to it, sure, you might get a really successful launch with that because you've cultivated relationships over a long time. But if you've never really done all of those things, like built, you know, relationships with people over time through business, that's a different story. Then maybe you want to start smaller or start facilitating, you know, these smaller groups or providing a course. Maybe you do courses, because that's another structure. There's many, many structures besides like a membership or a group. But, you know, we could think about challenges. You could think about coaching programs, like a 6-month coaching program or a 3-month support group where, you know, they keep each other accountable for that time. So I typically recommend, if you're new to community building, having a start and an end date for yourself and for the members is super helpful, because you and they know when this is going to end. Because if you have an ongoing membership, they never know when it ends, and it never stops for you or them. And that can be frustrating depending on their time schedule. And it can be also on your side a lot to have to feel like you have to show up ongoing. Right. And I tend to meet community builders, you know, sometimes when they've tried this membership model and they're like, it's a lot of work. And I said, yeah, most of the people that have these programs, they have a team of people and they're not just one person doing it. And so a lot of times I've really found that, you know, yeah, you can do it as a solo entrepreneur, or as like an entrepreneur with a virtual assistant. But you need to have a different strategy and a different approach than somebody who has a team and who has a big budget. And, you know, there's just different things that are happening and they have different goals, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it really depends, but I like the idea of having something that's like a 90-day program, because the benefit to that is whatever your 90 days is, whether it's a coaching program, a course, a mastermind, whatever it is, at the end of the 90 days, there's some kind of an outcome. And then there's some kind of a pause. So you can say, okay, we're done with this and we're going to take a pause. And then you let me know if you're interested in continuing, and you can see who's interested in continuing. And you can also reevaluate, you get feedback from those people who participated with you so that you can improve the next program. And there's a lot to be said that there's so much of a benefit in taking a pause to reflect. And a lot of times people just don't do that. They just keep trying different things in memberships, and then they just get really burnt out very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like this. It's got certain structure to it that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. In the book, I talk about all of these aspects of like what community is, the structure of a community, designing a community, thinking about how you onboard and bring people in as you invite them in the door of an online community. And then how do you keep them there, right? That's another challenge. Retention is a big challenge for memberships. And, you know, there is something called a commitment curve. And there's an idea that people are going to come in and out of your community at different times in their life, depending on what's happening. If I have a death in the family, I might not be in your community this week because I'm dealing with something else.
Right.
So a lot of community builders say, oh, well, they're just not in there. You know, they're not doing anything. I don't even see anybody checking in or logging in, or these people aren't doing this thing. And I said, well, we have to also consider it's not about us. It's not about the host. It's really has to be about the member and what they're capable and interested in doing.
Yeah.
You know, we just have to understand that we have a lot. Each person has a life and there's a lot going on. And so if you notice somebody that hasn't been checking in for a while, maybe you just could reach out to them in a direct message or a private email and just say, I just noticed you haven't been here. I just want to make sure if there's anything we can do to support you in the community. This happened once in an online community I was in because I was a member of a community that was location independent, it was called Location Indy. And one of the people that was in there actually had an accident and he fell while he was hiking and had to be medevaced out of this forest in Denver, in Colorado area. And he was obviously, it was a life-changing thing. He was very lucky that he didn't die. But I was able to share because his family had messaged me about it. I was able to share that with the community. They put together, you know, a gift basket and sent that to him. And he was just super, and, you know, encouraged people to donate to his GoFundMe. He wouldn't have gone on and said all that. He's still in the hospital.
Right.
You know, most of those people would never have known about this had it not been for, you know, one person. And this even happened in an in-person community I was in too. I was in an in-person community and a fellow member, her ex-husband contacted me and said she suddenly passed away.
Oof.
And we had just seen each other. It was very recent. So, and then I came to our meeting and I said, hey, this happens. And, you know, they were thankful because he hadn't contacted anyone else.
Right.
So these connections are seriously important in some way. In some spaces, they can really transmute from the, you know, going from this online to an in-person supportive experience. So always thinking about those things are really important too, because, you know, some people need their space and they're doing their thing and they're cool, whatever. Other people, maybe it's hard to ask for help. You know?
Yeah.
So it's always helpful to like thinking about what other people are going through and what they could be experiencing instead of thinking about, oh, they're not here. What's wrong with my content is usually what I hear. Like, they don't like my stuff. I'm like, no, it's not even about that. It could be about that. We don't know. Do we ask them?
Exactly.
Let's talk to them. You know? Right. That's what the deal is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big deal. Okay. And it feels like someone could go from, like, if they have an in-person, I'll use myself as an example. I used to have an in-person networking group here in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And then when COVID hit, we went virtual and we just stayed virtual because one of our members moved to Florida during COVID. And then we had someone who had another person who like moved to Maryland. So we just decided, you know what, we'll just keep it virtual because it meets twice a month, you know, but this way everyone can still participate. So it feels to me like that's the kind of thing that could be expanded slowly to maybe conversations around whatever we talk about during those weeks. Or
yeah, outside of maybe this blossoms into an annual retreat that you have once a year. Maybe you have a monthly, you know, happy hour, you know, or a quarterly happy hour or something where you get to meet up in person, but you do have the primarily the meetings are online because it's just easier, right? Because we don't have to go anywhere. We just jump on our computer and it makes it so easy and convenient. But there is a big difference in, you know, in person and online, right?
Yes.
It's a game changer. And I think what happens is when you build relationships online and then get to meet those people in person, it's just magical.
Yeah.
And being a host that gets to see this magic happen of like you knowing that you built this community and that these people came together and are now, there have been people in communities that because they got together and now they're married, you know, they're best friends. So knowing that you helped bring those two people together is an amazing feeling as a community builder. And I think that's why I'm passionate about community building is helping other people connect with people that matter to them. It just is a lovely thing to do.
It is. Yeah, there's no question. Yeah, this is really
one other thing I want, caveat is I do want to just point out, it does take time, effort, and money. And so it really is important to think about your goals and what you actually want to do. And then that's why it's important to put together a community strategy that is going to help you, you know, figure out how am I going to get revenue? What's the best option for me? Maybe it's a course. Maybe I'm going to offer some kind of support group and for, you know, some kind of a fee. You could even start with donations to see where to go, or you could talk to, you know, do some interviews and talk with people to figure out what would be affordable for them to pay in a coaching program or a membership of some sort. Just doing some research around that, because a lot of people make assumptions about what people are willing to pay or what people are willing to do. And that's the leading cause of failure. And that's why I failed my first launch. That's why a lot of people fail their launches, is because they make a lot of assumptions instead of actually talking to people about it.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I'm glad that you said that. That is really a very good point. This is, everything you've talked about has been really enlightening. I appreciate it. And to have all that in the book, it is terrific because it feels like it can guide people to creating their own community and space and you know, how to bring that to a reality if it makes sense for them to do.
Right. That's the reason I wrote the book. Not only for people to understand how to build a community intentionally, but also like, is this the right thing for me to do right now? Is this, you know, is this something that is going to align with my business? And then it's very easy to read. And it just has a lot of checklists. And like I said, it's just very simple with some questions that help you kind of clarify all of those things for yourself to decide if that is right for you. So I really wanted it to be something that people keep on their desk and kind of have handy and think, oh, is this something I should, you know, have that I can keep checking on, you know, like at different parts of your journey, because community building is this, you know, long term play where you're thinking about it in stages. And so when things get tough, which they do at some point, then you can try to change the strategy. Maybe you look in the book and say, okay, there's some different ideas here. Maybe I try something different. So,
well, and I think
constantly change.
Right. And I think that's really important that people need to realize that it is a process, and they're not going to sit down over a weekend and put this whole thing together and then launch it on Monday and be crazy successful. That there is a process that you need to go through in order to create a community that people want to be a part of. So matters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great. Deb, I really appreciate it. Will you tell the listeners how they can find you and where they can get the book, please?
Of course. The book is on Amazon. It's called Creator to Community Builder. If you go to findcalmhere.com, findcalmhere.com, you'll have all the information there.
Excellent. Thank you. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, and our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.